This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and it's the 20th of February 2012. Welcome back to another show. I haven't done a Truth News show for a couple of weeks. Been doing a lot of work on some websites I've been creating for the posing the body scanners. It's been a lot of work for me in that, and that's a website that's now up called wewillnotbescanned.org, which I want to try and get a bit of attention on. I've also been doing shows down at Radio Skid Row, which I've been posting on Truth News, so I'm fairly busy. But at the moment, we've got a critical international situation brewing with the crisis in the Middle East, the crisis in Syria, the proxy war against Iran, and I wanted to spend a bit of time today in today's show talking about that crisis, but I want to talk about an issue which I believe is central to the whole problem, and it's the concept of crony capitalism, which I believe is a great way of understanding why things are so messed up and why there is such threat of violence and such extreme behavior from the world's powerful elites and the superpower, mainly only one being the United States, but of course the satellite powers that the United States is drawn in with. And to join me in this discussion for today, I've got Josh Jackson for show. Josh, of course, you've recently relocated out of Sydney, and I hear you're heading over to Europe soon, but it's great to have you aboard.
Yeah, you know, I want to jump on a ship that's sinking, and just decided that'll be fun, you know, to jump on the Europe bandwagon. No, it's, you know,
speaking of ships,
my father's over there in Berlin and stuff, so I'd like to spend some time with him, and it'd be interesting to you know, see the scope from over there and see what happens to the euro.
Well, I hope we can get some reports from you from Germany. Because Germany is actually at the center of the financial situation at the moment. Mm. Being one of the most powerful of the European states, and you know, Germany being the country that sort of has to bail out these other countries, it's quite an interesting scenario. And in fact, there's a really interesting discussion of the German situation on the latest Kaiser report, which I coincidentally I wanted to present today because of the situation in Iran, but I recommend actually having a listen to the immediately preceding part where Max and Stacey are talking about the way in which Greece is being crushed by the terms of the bailout.
Mm.
And he makes some parallels about how, you know how Germany in the wake of World War II was given a lot of breaks, and they weren't actually punished, but Germany is punishing Greece. In fact, everyone's punishing Greece, and they're saying, you know, just give it to them, just keep laying it on. And they actually say the Greeks are to blame for their situation.
Yeah. And see, what people really need to understand here, though, is that having a dictatorial one currency called the euro across all these different zones is to blame. You can't, it really is a dictatorship. It's a monopoly on currency. And, you know, I'm not being racist here. It's very generalistic, but generally the Germans are extremely, they're extremely focused and hardworking.
Okay.
And I'm not, and that's a generalization, but in Spain, they're not so. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just different. It's just a different lifestyle. You know, they'll rest for siesta, they'll chill out. They're a bit more, you know, relaxed with it. They don't need to work constantly. It's just a mindset, and it's not a good or a bad thing. It just, that's the way it kind of is.
They've got a different culture, Mediterranean culture.
Yeah.
Different. It's, you know,
it's
the seasons
different.
Are different.
I mean, I quite think it's better to be a bit more relaxed. The fact of the matter is, though, with this pooling of everybody into the same currency, is that you're getting this total distortion and inflexibility into sovereign debt and work ethic is a part of that play. See, when you have multiple currencies, they compete and they work by taking into consideration the work ethic. It seems to be a lot more even in terms of its ability to cope with trade. So having one huge monolithic euro to chuck every country, everybody's work ethic, everybody's culture all into this one deal, one currency, is extreme. And it's the same with the dollar being used to pay for every oil transaction. It's a monopoly which gives that currency power, and the main holder of that currency power.
Right. Yeah. Look, that's a really nicely articulated there. And you know, from my point of view, I find it really annoying and actually offensive when I hear people using these sort of arguments that, oh, you know, the Greeks are lazy. Because it's, and I imagine, you know, the Greeks must find it pretty offensive too. But I you know, I feel sympathetic towards it because I think it's a, I think that's a very prejudiced and thick-headed and just totally wrong explanation for the situation.
5 hours a day instead of eight. Why shouldn't they? If they decide to, and you know, it really comes down to the fact that we need more currencies, more of them. We need way more of them. We need people to be allowed to trade in whatever they wish has value, whichever they deem has value. And this is an important part of capitalism, because part of the free market is to allow the exchange and the swap of a commodity or anything like that in a trade. So, you know, money can be fruit, it can be gold, it can be oil, it can be corn, anything at all. It's that the states and the governments force you to use what they have control of, or the banks force the governments to force the farmers and everyone else, the punters, to use that currency. And I think the if we can break that, we'll really emancipate the markets and really start to even out some of these boom bust business cycles.
Yeah, and look, I want to illustrate this concept of crony capitalism with an example. And I was talking about you with this earlier, Josh. The concept here is that, see, crony capitalism is a situation where you have actually classes of people who basically can dominate other classes. It is actually a hierarchical privilege system that allows people who are not particularly gifted, and they might not be competitively better at what they do, to nonetheless own and dominate business interests, because they have the connections. You know, you got the connections with the government, you got the connections with the other big companies, you got the connections with the boys from your school, you got the connections with the mob, you know, all these different ways of consolidating power that are not open and are not free methods, but are basically forms of bullying and control. That is what we call crony capitalism. And it leads to a complete distortion of free trade, a complete distortion of competition. And unfortunately, in the context of a socialized state, it actually leads to a complete abomination of the concept of a, you know, a state where the resources are owned by the people. You know, it's a complete distortion of that, because in the crony corporatist socialist model, you have this giant corporation of the state basically managing things, and of course the people have no say in it at all. But the rhetoric of those who opt for that type of solution is that it's good because it, you know, it frees these resources from the terrible greedy capitalists. But in reality, it's just another really brutal and really crony set of relationships controlled by people who are just in it for their own power and glory. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the term crony capitalism, just straight out of Wikipedia, so I just want to break that down. Crony capitalism is a term describing an economy in which success in business depends on close relationships between business people and government officials. It may be exhibited by favoritism in the distribution of legal permits, government grants, special tax breaks, and so forth. So that really is the essence of crony capitalism, and is also the essence, and it's the same word, it's a different word for the same thing, but fascism. where you have the both corporate interests, and we've talked about this many times on this show, but the marriage of private business and government officials and governments, and using the force and violence of the state to enforce or give you an advantage over competitors is really the meaning of fascism. So one thing I'd like to say with crony capitalism or fascism is that you have a business where it's not really the customer what the business is after, because the customer, it doesn't really matter anymore if the customer is liking it or not. What you need is to constantly keep the government giving you more money, bailing you out, giving you tax breaks, or funding your business.
Of course.
So this is something that can happen, and I'm all for unions of workers getting together and fighting for better stuff, but I'm not for unions getting together with the government to force government to giving them breaks through you know, higher wages forced on the owner of the business through the government forcing and this sort of thing. These are the sorts of things that happen in a crony capitalist system, where you constantly get the government coming in and giving you and finding you for.
Sorry, Josh, you're just dropping out there a bit. We're actually going to break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get into some related news that I really want to cover in relation to this whole crony capitalism issue.
Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCoinAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Miras Proven Method. Michael Miras has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Miras Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Miras banner, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com, or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
Welcome back to Truth News. Today we're talking about crony capitalism, and we're talking about the impending world war. Now, I haven't got to that topic yet, but I really wanted to frame this because I want to understand it from its concepts and from its inception, because the situation that we have with the crisis in the Middle East that is currently focused on Syria, but also clearly Iran being the main target, is one of the manipulation of currency. And a recent article that was actually published in The Telegraph has stated that Iran intends to start trading oil in non-European denominations. Non-American currencies starting on the 20th of March 2012. Very close. It's very near. Now, I wasn't actually aware of this. This was on the Kaiser Report recently. I've checked it out. I've got the links here. I want to play a bit of the Kaiser Report now for you, and then I want to comment on it. So I'm just going to bring that up, and we'll get right back into it after that. Here we go.
Now, of course, the war between Rome and Carthage was control of Sicily and that important sea route. Now, the equivalent in modern times is, of course, the Straits of Hormuz. So let's move on to that currency war going on over there. Iran presses ahead with a dollar attack. So this is also from The Telegraph, and they say last week the Tehran Times noted that the Iranian oil bourse will start trading oil in currencies other than the dollar from March 20th. This long-planned move is part of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's vision of economic war with the West. Now, of course, this also seems to be some sort of propaganda. Every time we're in some sort of like tense moment, they bring out this oil bourse. We've been hearing about it for almost 10 years now.
Going back to when Saddam Hussein was going to trade oil in other currencies other than the dollar, which brought about shock and awe. And then, of course, we heard the same thing coming out of Iran, an oil bourse. So currency wars, you see it in Europe, and now we see it in the Middle East, is what you're saying. The Iranian people, the Iranian government, wants to do non-U.S. dollar-denominated oil trading, and this is heating things up, right? This is what driving force. It's not about the nuclear weapons. It's about this currency war. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying one never knows. Who knows about whether or not the Carthaginians killed their babies? Because the victor always writes the history. Here is the same as part of the propaganda. One never knows if they're killing their babies or are actually going to trade oil in dollars. We don't know. But it seems to come up over and over that this is a psychologically important move.
Okay, well, let's just go digress for a second, and let me ask you this. Let's say it is about the currency, and it's not about nukes. Okay?
Yep.
Let's do a little thought exercise here. Using Jim Rickards' currency wars as the paradigm, what would be the appropriate counterattack from the Iranian axis? Would it not be for them to introduce a gold-backed currency as another way to slam a nail into the dollar's coffin? Wouldn't that also be true?
If they're fighting against an empire, this is the way that empire is able to extract in the modern day the wealth of Iran, the wealth of Germany, the wealth of Greece, the wealth of China. It's because nothing backs the U.S. dollar, but you have to give them your goods. This is your.
I'm just going to stop it there. This is the key point I really want to make, is that the domination of trade by this one currency is what keeps America in power economically. However, they have to back that up by the threat of force. Are you still there, Josh?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a situation where America has this massive military arsenal. That is actually really their only collateral. Because if people don't go along with what they want to do, they can blast them to hell. But the Americans may have reached a point now where it's just going to be a little bit beyond what they can do, because they're certainly threatening Iran. And I want to play another clip that was on Fox News that shows a call from within the U.S. Congress to launch this military strike. But I guess just the point I want to make is that this is actually a beautiful example of crony capitalism at its highest and most complete level, where it's the entire system, it's the nation states that are dominated by a system. And you see, Iran is put into a situation where it has to attack this on this level of currency, but they will respond by then military force. They will respond with bombs. And this is what has happened again and again. And as Max Kaiser said, it happened with Saddam Hussein. This is exactly what Saddam Hussein was doing. And so...
Well, and also we saw Jeepers creepers.
Well, let me just play a little more of this clip here from Max and Stacey, and then we can get more into that.
Your seniorage, this is them controlling Sicily. This is them controlling the Straits of Hormuz. You know, Iran says they control the Straits of Hormuz, but if you're paying for that oil to go through there in dollars, the emperor controls the Straits of Hormuz.
Okay, good point.
Now, the Telegraph says Iran has the third largest oil reserves in the world, and pricing oil in currencies other than dollars is a provocative move aimed at Washington. If Iran switches to the non-dollar terms for its oil payments, there could be a new oil price that would be denominated in euro, yen, or even the yuan or rupee. India is already in talks with Iran over pricing their oil in rupees, and they said even worse, gold.
Absolutely. So if there are multiple exchanges with multiple prices for these commodities, then the monopoly position enjoyed by the U.S. dollar is shattered. And with that come all the benefits of that. And all of the inflation that America has exported to countries like China comes roaring back. So those iPods and iPads, suddenly instead of paying $1,000, you're paying $3,000.
The article also then goes on to mention the EU ban on Iranian oil imports, which comes into force on July 1st, could hit Europe harder than it does Iran. So think of this as you see mass protests, the burning of Athens, the mass protests in Lisbon. Remember, 100,000 people were out in the streets of Lisbon the same time the Greeks were out. There's mass protests and austerity and suffering and economic hardship all across Europe. And now they're going to find that as Iran currently supplies 500,000 barrels of oil per day to the EU, there is a potential oil price spike in the offing should Iran preemptively stop the flow of oil, which it has threatened to do.
You know what?
Okay, I'll just leave it there. So, look, just to summarize this concept of what crony capitalism is, I think everyone, you know, can understand the way the mafia used to operate. I mean, the mafia would have members of the government in their pocket. They would blackmail them. They would, you know, have them under control in various ways. And, of course, through the threat of blackmail or even violence or, you know, the horse's head in the bed like in The Godfather, you know, you can manipulate the behavior of those who are allegedly, you know, just there as representatives of the people to get your way. And, of course, the way crony capitalism works in the full economy that we have today is a bit more sophisticated than that, but under the hood, like, basically what they're doing is the same type of thing. It is the same type of violence and threats and blackmail that it has always been. But we see it on the global stage with the violence and threats against nation states who don't want to go along with the program. And, of course, all the lies we heard about Libya, the lies that we're hearing about Syria, and the lies that we're hearing about Iran is just the way they operate to justify their behavior. And I just think this is a really interesting point because in doing so, they're actually leveraging people's sense of morality. They are actually manipulating people's sense of what is right and wrong. But people really do have to wake up because I still get a lot from a lot of people that just are oblivious to it and they think, oh, well, there must be something. Yeah, the Iranians are doing something bad. You know, they just really need to understand the complete level of duplicity, of deceit, of outright lying, and you can easily understand why, because they have to control the currency system, which is their seat of power.
Yeah, and what I was trying to say before I got mind numbed,
sure,
I just hit a blank. But it was Gaddafi also wanted a gold for oil plan. And look what happened to him. Look what happened to Hussein. They all get wiped out once they start with these, hey, let's start trading oil, A, between our own currencies, B, between local currencies of other nations, and C, in oil.
Except this, Josh. I would say Iran may be a different proposition to those other two because they were both fairly small nations. They had a lot of oil, but they didn't have so much infrastructure and they didn't have the kind of alliances that Iran has. Iran is going to be a very different type of battle. And we'll get right back into that after this break.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome back to the show. Today we're talking about crony capitalism, Iran, and the impending war. I actually believe that it is possible that this could be a turning point at which we start to see American power begin to wane. Because I actually think, I'm a fairly optimistic person. I don't believe that we are doomed. A lot of people do get caught into this way of thinking once they start to wake up, but they become overly pessimistic and they think everything's doomed. It's all going to be, you know, we're going to end up in living in some Orwellian nightmare of, and it's going to, you know, be global destruction, population reduction, and we're all, you know, just be, you know, forced to live underground if we want to retain our freedom and our, you know, personal autonomy, because the whole system is going to be just a giant police state. That is certainly a looming threat. But I actually believe that what is going to happen is that we are going to overturn this. There's going to be this paroxysm, and we're getting really close to it now. And unfortunately, Australia is just still languishing in a really sloppy kind of, you know, tuned out state. You know, you talk about the Greeks being lazy. I just think, you know, Australians are just tuned out in a, just walking around like Borg zombies, you know? I mean, you know, at least in Athens, you've got
Australians
people.
Is, yeah. It's the opposite in terms of that. You're right, Harold, but it's what's happened is that Australians are so highly leveraged that they cannot afford to think or to take action upon those thoughts anyhow. So if they do realize there's some problems, oh, no, I can't, you know, I can't go out and demo. I can't because I've got a mortgage. I've got two mortgages or three. And they're, you know, they're costing me $4,000, $5,000, $8,000 a month.
Yeah, and of course there is this sort of lucky country mentality that we have, and we think we are doing pretty well. But what we don't sort of notice is it's all deteriorating all around us. The quality of life is actually deteriorating, and no, nothing is being done to counteract that. And our infrastructure is pathetic in terms of what it needs to supply.
Yeah, that was just another story that schools need massive injections of money to even keep on going. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Schools have been pumped full of money constantly every year, more. And, you know, what are we here now? But, you know, we need just a little bit more and then we'll be functioning. Well, it's not just about pumping money. It's a whole systemic problem, but that's a whole different diversion in a show. But what I'd like to do, I wonder if you can hear this, Harold. I just brought this video up. It's a good demonstration of what was happening with Gaddafi's gold oil plan.
Okay, sure.
According to some, it's about protecting civilians.
We must not tolerate this regime using military force against its own people.
Others say it's about oil.
The only reason they're interested with Libya is about the oil. You'd think we'd be in Iraq if the major export there was broccoli.
But some are convinced intervention in Libya is all about currency, specifically Gaddafi's plan to introduce the gold dinar, a single African currency made from gold, a true sharing of the wealth.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret, because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested. I think most countries in Africa were keen.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. The UK has double that, but 10 times the population.
If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency, or maybe launch a gold dinar currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today, who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
All right, I think that makes the point. Can you just hold it there?
Yeah.
That makes the point perfectly. And look, there's just no doubt anymore about what's going on here. You know, there's it's so clear. It can't be more clear. So, and I really think that it's time for those of us who actually are aware of what's going on to be more strident and to be more articulate in actually explaining it to anyone and everyone we come across, because I still get the confused response from many people who either haven't had the time, they haven't put the time into looking at it, they're bamboozled by the news because the news is lying all the time. And of course, people can't quite believe that the news would lie that much. But, you know, the news in Soviet Russia used to lie to people all the time. And everyone used to laugh at that. You know, Pravda was a joke. Everyone knew that it was just a propaganda machine. Yeah. Everyone says that the media in the North Korea is lying to people all the time. Everyone says the news in China is lying to people all the time.
Well, and now you get the news in America, let's say Fox News and also newspapers like the British Telegraph saying that RT is just a mouthpiece of the Kremlin. Well, so, you know, it's happening right now.
Well, indeed. In fact, I was listening to Skid Row Radio this morning, and my friend Crispy called in, and he was bringing up some points here about the Syrian conflict being essentially a proxy war against Iran, and how the government there is actually trying to protect the people, because actually there's foreign insurgents in Syria with guns shooting people in the street. They're actually killing Syrian citizens. And the government, the citizens are begging the government to protect them because these people are just murdering people in the streets. But this is being represented on the BBC day after day after day as a grassroots resistance. And every time the government does anything to try and protect its citizens, they report it as the government oppressing the freedom movement. And of course, if the government doesn't do anything, then it's like the government standing by while people are being killed, and that makes them look hopeless and inert. So no matter what the Syrian government does, they are portrayed in a terrible light. But anyway, when my friend called in to say that, you know, he actually said, look, there's some great reportage going on Russia Today about this. You know, Russia Today has actually been exposing this. He was told by the left wing compere of the show there that you can't trust the Russians because you know, there's the mafia and they control the news over there. And now I wouldn't pay too much attention to what the Russians say. This is a very common viewpoint that you'll get. And it is a type of a left-wing view. And I don't know why it is. I don't know why the left wing has so betrayed and dropped the ball in relation to this information. Because, you know, a lot of left-wing people are pretty smart, or at least they used to be. I used to think left-wing people were smart. But now what I get with this left-wing position, it's just people mumbling mumbo-jumbo nonsense like that, you know? Like, and they won't even look at the information. Like you won't get these so-called left-wing people to even look at RT. They go, oh no, we can't look at that. Oh no, that'll be controlled by the mafia.
Well, I find that exactly the same with the right wing. The right wing and the left wing, they're just a whole lot of nonsense that are built into these sort of these predefined slots that people can slot into and feel comfortable in, without you know, looking at any information. And folks, there really is no excuse anymore. There's no excuse. We don't have a central media that we have to rely on now. Now we have Twitter and Facebook and reports from people that are there uploading stuff. Absolutely. Uploading images. You don't need to believe anyone. You can go and verify and very quickly too. You know, you don't need to drive down to the library and see, you know, old reports from this and that. You literally get stuff that someone's uploaded 10 seconds ago and it's gone viral.
Yeah, and you can distinguish quality information from bogus, sloppy information on the internet. And because people often fall back on that as an excuse for why not to believe anything that's not sort of coming out of the TV. They go, oh, you can't trust the internet. Well, no, you trust your own ability to distinguish, and you use all the things that everyone does in learning to trust anyone, like a person you meet off the street, you know, a friend, someone you meet at the pub. You know, how do you learn to trust people? You cross-reference what they say
and
with facts.
Bloggers were laughed at a few years ago by the mainstream media. Now, the bloggers are the mainstream media. And the mainstream media is getting its information from Twitter and from these sites, these headline sites, these instant news aggregators, and then reporting. So all they're doing is distinguishing what's what and deciding what they want you to hear and feel and see and decide on.
Absolutely. One more segment to go. We'll be right back.
City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, is that why we got the page to not come in today, end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they'd been in an all-night stakeout, or that they'd been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the world? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Welcome back to the show. Now, I just want to play a quick clip from Fox News, which is essentially fear-mongering and not quality newscasting, except it does give you a sense of the intensity with which the powers that be intend to provoke violent conflict in Iran. Here we go. This is a Fox News alert from a couple of days ago.
Fox News alert, a bipartisan group of senators on Capitol Hill sending a strong warning to Iran. They are introducing a resolution backing the use of U.S. military force, to stop Iranian leaders from getting their hands on nuclear weapons. The senators are making it clear the time for talk is running out.
Distraction by negotiation.
This is Joe Lieberman.
You become a nuclear power is not an option for you. And containment of a nuclear Iran is not an option for us.
We're for real. There's still time. Do the right thing, and you can avoid consequences that are unpalatable.
These are all U.S. senators.
To you, as well as a last resort for us.
We will end their nuclear weapons program. We will prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons capability. This is a deadly serious moment.
This shows that the senators are prepared to stand with Israel, but what about the White House? Joining us now, Dan Gillerman, he's a former Israeli ambassador to the UN and a Fox News contributor. Ambassador, the rhetoric is ratcheting up. You heard what the senator said, but the White House is already saying that they believe that Iran's latest overtures, suggesting it might now participate, resume talks about its nuclear program, those have been stalled for a year, is promising. They're talking about how this is the message or the response they've been waiting for. Are you as encouraged?
Well, I'm very encouraged, Megan, by the stand which this bipartisan group of senators has shown.
I'll just leave it there. You can listen to the rest of that online. The rest of that is completely, you know, dishonest, sleazy kind of interview with former Israeli ambassador to the UN. Of course, none of these people actually set policy, although, you know, there are a number of senators in the US, and of course Lieberman is infamous for his association with all kinds of freedom-suppressing bills that have been passed in the US Congress. I mean, these people are paid-for crooks. They're basically just criminals. They're probably tied in directly with the mafia. They're probably being blackmailed. Who knows what they are? They're completely dishonest, completely lying, completely criminal. But the intention there is to try and push this conflict through. I think that it's going to fail. I think that the power grab, they've overreached, and I think we're going to start to see American power wane. That's my prediction.
Yeah,
what do you say to that?
I tend to agree. I think the trouble is that American military might is extraordinary. It is extraordinary. The amount of money spent, the amount of the public purse spent on military growth and arms is so enormous. It's unfathomable. I mean, it's more than the entire every other country put together or something like that. I mean, I don't know the exact, but it's something absolutely mammoth. That's not to say, you know, and the problem with that's not to say that they're strong in other ways, because it's an overextension into one sort of thing, which is arms. But
indeed, well, look, I think that the ability of the Americans to project force has never been greater. That's true. But their ability to really influence is as weak as it's ever been. And so all they've got is force. Now, I think that they will be wielding it. I think we will see some bad things happen. And however, I don't see Armageddon coming. I don't see global annihilation. What I see is the death throes of a crony capitalist superpower, and as that, as its death throes, it'll start to be more violent, more out of control. It'll start to do things that are more ridiculous, and the institutions that are there to prop up that empire will start to become unstable. They'll start to disintegrate.
The problem is, as well, is that it's not just America. It is the so-called allies of America that have to go down in these death throes.
Yes, and I believe it's very much Central European countries as much as America. You know, in terms of geographically where the power hub is, you know, you might as well say it's in Europe. I mean, the Americans obviously are armed to the teeth, but all this power and money and wealth is centered in Europe, in Belgium, you know, in places like that, and Germany now. I mean, but of course, it's an empire, and it's a different empire to empires we've seen in the past. But it is. I believe a flailing empire, and I just want people to feel positive. I don't want people to feel that the situation is hopeless. I don't want people to feel that we're doomed, because we're not.
The point of this show for me is to really reiterate the fact that the reasons for going to war against Syria, against Iran, against Gaddafi, all of these places are all lies, basically, or half-truths, and using things like nuclear-powered Iran as an excuse to wield influence and control and lasso back in the control of the dollar as a global oil currency, because the dollar really isn't backed by anything else but oil. It's backed by proxy, by oil. And if it doesn't have that, then the little man comes out from behind the curtain and is shown for what he is, and that's really nothing.
And I think when that happens, we're going to start to see the media, sort of the wall of propaganda in the media, start to crumble as well. Because, you know, there's a lot of people in the media who know that they're being forced to promulgate lies, right? And they're getting sick of it too. You know, the media is so critical to this. That without the lies from the media, it can't work. But the credulity of people is being strained, and so the commitment of people in the media to go along with it is going to start to get strained to breaking point as well. And I think you're going to start to see more of these kind of fringe conspiracy type things break through as people lose the blanket belief in the system and the power and the authority that they've been following all along. And, you know, issues that we've been covering like 9/11, climate change, medical vaccines and all these types of things are really they're chinks in the armor of the empire, because they show the degree to which the lying has had to be done to maintain its power grip.
But, you know, the battle is fought on many a front from the other side too. So this is why parties like the Pirate Party is so important, I think, because they're really attacking the freedom of the information on the internet by utilizing, again, fake excuses like copyright, which they really don't care about, but these huge organizations have got the power and influence in government to control this, again, with using this crony capitalist system to control the internet.
Absolutely.
And so you get people like Jerry Harvey talking about taxing the internet from one side. So that's a control method, because you can't tax the internet without having total control and bondage over it. Then you have the copyright and the entertainment and the industries, the content industries, attacking it from a copyright end, which you need total control over every bit of content to really appease them. And so it's really important to, at any time that you can, defend the internet's anarchic and free construct.
And just on the concept of defense, I've only got a couple of minutes left here. I just want to very briefly mention that what you're saying is absolutely right, but there are certain things we've got to focus on in terms of protecting our freedom that are become absolutely critical issues, and they become the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. And one of them is the body scanners. I mean, you brought up a very important point there, Josh, and I don't want to diminish it. But the other one being the body scanners that are going into the airports, which I've actually set up a new website called wewillnotbescanned.org, and I'm trying to promote that, and we're going to do a whole show on it soon. I want to get experts on who can talk about it, because the tyranny of forcing people to go through these machines is actually it's symbolic of the corrupt and outrageous abuse of power that the empire is now seeking in its final throes of its collapse, what it's trying to do to ordinary people. And of course,
folks, it's not just about airports, it's about bus stops, libraries, everywhere.
Exactly. These machines can be put into any scenario. And of course, you know, it's an assault on your civil liberties. It's an assault on your privacy. It's potentially a threat to your health. It's ineffective and it's corrupt. There's about five different levels on which this body scanner issue needs to be approached. But we'll have to attack that on the next show.
Well, I'll get my armor ready.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
And folks, please support the show by spreading it. Send a copy to your friends. Go, hey, check this out. You know, put it up on Facebook, and post the website about. Because without your help, we can't do much more.
I second that motion. And without further ado, we'll say good night and good luck.
Thank you very much, Harold.
See you next week.
Cheers.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the Scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.